Chapter 62. This chapter recounts the meeting of Aniruddha and Usha and Aniruddha's battle with Banasura. Of the 100 sons of King Bali, the oldest was Banasura. Banasura was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, who favored Bana so much that even demigods like Indra would serve Banasura. Banasura once satisfied Lord Shiva by playing musical instruments with his 1,000 hands while Lord Shiva danced his Tandava Nritya. And in response, Lord Shiva offered Bana whatever benediction he would choose, and so Bana asked Shiva to become the guardian of his city. One day, when Bana was feeling an urge to do battle, Banasura told Lord Shiva, "Except for you in this whole world, there is no warrior strong enough to fight with me. Therefore, these 1,000 arms you have given me are merely a heavy burden." Angered by these words, Lord Shiva replied, "Your pride will be crushed in battle when you meet my equal. Indeed, your chariot flag will fall to the ground broken." Banasura's daughter, Usha, once had an encounter with a lover in her sleep. Several nights in a row this occurred until one night Usha failed to see him in her dreams. Usha suddenly awoke, speaking out loud to him in a state of agitation. But when Usha noticed her maidservants around her, Usha felt embarrassed. Usha's companion, Chitraleka, asked Usha who she had been addressing, and Usha told her everything. Hearing of Usha's dream lover, Chitraleka tried to relieve her friend's distress by drawing pictures of Gandharvas and other celestial personalities, as well as various men of the Vrishni dynasty. Chitraleka asked Usha to pick out the man she was seeing in her dreams, and Usha pointed to the picture of Aniruddha. Chitraleka, who had mystic powers, knew at once that the young man her friend had pointed out was Lord Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha. Then, using her mystic powers, Chitraleka flew through the sky to Dwaraka, found Aniruddha, and brought Aniruddha back with her to Shonitapura, the capital of Banasura. There, Chitraleka presented Aniruddha to her friend Usha. Now, having obtained the man of her desires, Usha began serving Aniruddha very affectionately within her private quarters, which were supposed to be strictly off limits to any man. But after some time, the female guards of the inner palace noticed symptoms of sexual activity on the body of Usha, and they went to Banasura to inform him. Greatly disturbed, Banasura rushed to his daughter's apartments with many armed guards, and to his great surprise, Banasura saw Aniruddha there. As the guards attacked, Aniruddha took up his club and succeeded in killing a few before the powerful Bana could capture Aniruddha with his mystic Nagapasha ropes, filling Usha with lamentation. Chapter 63. This chapter describes the battle between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva, as well as Lord Shiva's glorification of Krishna. After Krishna had cut off 996 arms of Banasura, when Aniruddha did not return from Shonitapur, his family and friends passed the 4 months of the rainy season in extreme distress. When they finally heard from Narada Muni how Aniruddha had been captured. A large army of the best Yadava warriors, under Krishna's protection, set off for the capital of Banaasura, laying siege to it. Banaasura fiercely opposed them with his own army of equal size. To help Banaasura, Lord Shiva, accompanied by Kartikeya and a horde of mystic sages, took up arms against Balaram and Krishna. Bana began fighting against Satyaki, and Bana's son fought against Krishna's son, Samba. All the demigods assembled in the sky to witness the battle, and with his arrows, Lord Krishna harassed the followers of Lord Shiva, and by putting Lord Shiva into a state of confusion, Krishna was able to destroy Banaasura's army. Kartikeya was so strongly beaten by Prajumna that Kartikeya fled the battlefield, while the remnants of Banaasura's army, annoyed by the blows of Lord Balaram's club, scattered in all directions. Enraged to see his army's destruction, Banaasura rushed Krishna to attack. But Krishna immediately killed Bana's chariot driver and broke his chariot and bow. And then Krishna sounded his Panchajanya Kancha. Next, Banaasura's mother, trying to save her son, appeared naked in front of Lord Krishna, who averted his face to avoid looking at her. Seeing his chance, Bana fled into his city. After Lord Krishna had thoroughly defeated the ghosts and hobgoblins fighting under Lord Shiva, the Shivadwar weapon, a personification of fever with three heads and three legs, approached Lord Krishna in a fighting mood. Seeing the Shivadwar, Krishna released his Vishnudwar. The Shivadwar was overwhelmed by the Vishnudwar, having nowhere else to turn for shelter. And thus, Shivadwar began to address Lord Krishna, glorifying and asking for mercy. Lord Krishna was pleased with Shivadwar, and after Krishna had promised Shivadwar freedom from fear, Shivadwar bowed down to Krishna and departed. Next, Banaasura returned and attacked Lord Sri Krishna again, wielding all kinds of weapons in his 1,000 hands. But Lord Krishna took his Sudarshana disc and began cutting off all of the demon's arms. Lord Shiva then approached Krishna, praying to spare Banaasura's life. And when Krishna agreed to spare Banaasura, Krishna spoke as follows to his devotee, Shiva. This Banaasura does not deserve to die, since he was born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. I have severed all but four of Bana's arms, just to destroy his false pride. And I have annihilated Banaasura's army, simply because they were a burden to the earth. Henceforward, this Banaasura will be free from old age and death. And remaining fearless in all circumstances, Bana will become one of your principal attendants. Now assured that he had nothing to fear, Banaasura offered obeisances to Lord Krishna and had Usha and Aniruddha seated on their wedding chariot and brought before Lord Krishna. Krishna then set off for Dwaraka with Aniruddha and his bride leading the procession. When the newlyweds arrived at Krishna's capital, they were honored by the citizens, by Krishna's relatives, and by the Brahmanas. Chapter 64. This chapter describes how Sri Krishna released King Nriga from a curse and instructed the royal order on the great danger of taking the property of a Brahmana. One day, Samba and the other young boys of the Yadava dynasty went to the forest to play. And after playing for a long time, they became very thirsty and began looking for water. Inside a dry well, they found an amazing creature, a huge lizard resembling a hill. The boys felt sorry for the lizard and tried to pull him out. But after several attempts with leather thongs and ropes, they saw that they would not be able to rescue the lizard, and thus they went to Lord Krishna, telling him what had happened. Krishna then accompanied them to the well, and after extending his left hand, easily lifted the lizard out. And by the touch of Lord Krishna's hand, the creature transformed at once into a demigod. Then Lord Krishna asked, "Who are you? And how did you assume such a lowly form?" "My name is King Nriga, son of Ikshvaku, and I was famous for giving charity. Indeed, I gave away countless cows to numerous Brahmins. But on one occasion, a cow belonging to a first-class Brahmana wandered into my herd. Unaware of this, I gave this cow in charity again to a different Brahmana. And when the cow's previous owner saw that the second Brahmana was taking away his cow, the first Brahmana claimed the cow as his and began arguing with the second Brahmana. After quarreling for some time, they approached me, and I implored them to each take 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow, and to please forgive me for the offense I had unknowingly committed. But neither Brahmana would accept my proposal, and the matter remained unsettled. Shortly thereafter, I died, and I was taken away by the Yamadutas to the court of Yamaraj. Lord Yama asked me which I preferred to do first, suffer the results of my sins or enjoy the results of my pious acts. I decided to suffer my sinful reactions first, and thus I assumed the body of a lizard." And after King Nriga told his story, he offered prayers to Lord Krishna and then mounted a celestial airplane which transported him to heaven. Lord Krishna then instructed his personal associates, as well as the general mass of people, on the dangers of stealing the property of a Brahmana. Finally, Lord Krishna returned to his palace. Chapter 65. This chapter relates how Lord Balaram went to Gokul, enjoyed the company of the cowherder girls, and dragged the Yamuna River. One day, Lord Balaram went to Gokula to see his relatives and friends. And when Balaram arrived there, the elder gopis and Lord Krishna's parents, Nanda and Yashoda, who had all been in great anxiety for a long time, they all embraced Balaram and blessed him. Lord Balaram offered appropriate respects and greetings to each of his worshipable elders, according to age, friendship, and family relation. And after Gokula's residence and Lord Balaram had inquired about each other's welfare, Lord Balaram finally rested from his journey. In a short while, the young gopis came to see Lord Balaram, questioning him about Krishna's well-being. "So, does Krishna still remember his parents and friends? And will Krishna be coming back to Gokula to visit them?" "Oh, for Krishna's sake, we gave up everything, even our fathers, mothers, and other relatives. But now, Krishna has abandoned us. So, how could we help but put our faith in Krishna's words after seeing his sweetly smiling face and thus being overwhelmed by urges of Cupid? And still, if Krishna can spend his days in separation from us, why can't we tolerate separation from Krishna? No, there is no reason to keep talking about Krishna. And in this way, the gopis remembered Sri Krishna's charming talks, enchanting glances, playful gestures, and loving embraces. And as a result, they began to cry. Lord Balaram consoled the gopis, conveying the attractive messages Krishna had given him just for them. And so, Lord Balaram stayed in Gokula for 2 months, sporting with the gopis in the groves on the Yamuna shore. And the demigods who witnessed these pastimes played kettle drums in the heavens and showered down flower petals, while the celestial sages recited the glories of Lord Balaram. And it so happened that one day, Lord Balaram became intoxicated by drinking some Varuni liquor, and Balaram began wandering about the forest in the company of the gopis. Balaram called out to the Yamuna, "Come near so I and the gopis can enjoy sporting in your waters." But Yamuna ignored Balaram's command. Lord Balaram then started to pull the Yamuna with the end of his plow, splitting Yamuna into hundreds of tributaries. Trembling out of fright, the goddess Yamuna appeared, falling down at Lord Balaram's feet and praying for forgiveness. Balaram let her go and then entered the waters of the Yamuna with his girlfriends to sport for some time. And when they rose from the water, the goddess Kanti presented Lord Balaram with beautiful ornaments, clothing, and garlands. Why, even today, the Yamuna River flows through the many channels cut by Lord Baladev's plow, the signs of his having subdued her. And while Lord Balaram played, his mind became enchanted by the pastimes of the gopis. Thus, the many nights Balaram spent in their company seemed to Lord Balaram like a single night. Chapter 66. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna went to Kashi, known in the present day as Benares, and killed Poundraka and Kashiraj, and how Krishna's Sudarshana disc defeated a demon, incinerated the city of Kashi, and killed Sudakshina. While Lord Baladev was visiting Vraja, King Poundraka of Karusha, encouraged by fools, announced that he was the real Vasudeva. Thus, Poundraka challenged Lord Krishna with the following message. "Since I alone am the true personality of Godhead, you should give up your false claim to this position, as well as my divine symbols, and you should take shelter of me. Or if you do not, then prepare for battle." When Ugrasena and the members of his royal assembly heard Poundraka's foolish boast, they all heartily laughed. Sri Krishna then told Poundraka's messenger to convey a message to his master. "O fool, I will force you to give up the so-called Sudarshana disc and the other divine symbols of mine you have dared to assume. And when you lie down on the battlefield, you will become the shelter of dogs." Lord Krishna then went to Kashi. Poundraka seeing Krishna preparing for battle, quickly came out of the city to confront Krishna with his army. Poundraka's friend, Kashi Raj, followed Poundraka, leading the rear guard. Just as the fire of universal devastation destroys every living being in all directions, so Lord Krishna annihilated the armies of Poundraka and Kashi Raj. Then, after chastising Poundraka, Krishna beheaded both Poundraka and Kashi Raj with his Sudarshana disc. Thereafter, Krishna returned to Dwaraka. But because Poundraka had constantly meditated on the Supreme Lord, even dressing like Krishna, Poundraka gained liberation. When Krishna beheaded Kashi Raj, the king's head flew into his city, and when his queens, sons, and other relatives saw the head, they all began to lament. At that time, a son of Kashi Raj named Sudakshina, wanting to avenge his father's death, began worshipping Lord Shiva with the intention of destroying his father's killer. Gratified by Sudakshina's worship, Lord Shiva offered Sudakshina a choice of benedictions, and Sudakshina asked for a means to kill the person who had slain his father. Lord Shiva advised Sudakshina to worship the Dakshina Agni fire with black magic rituals. This Sudakshina did, with the result that a fearsome demon with a body of flames appeared from the pit of the sacrificial fire. The demon rose up, carrying a fiery trident, and at once set off for Dwaraka. The residents of Lord Krishna's capital became terrified as the demon approached Dwaraka. But Lord Krishna assured them of protection and dispatched his Sudarshana Chakra to oppose the magic creation of Lord Shiva. The Sudarshana Chakra overpowered the demon, who then returned to Varanasi and burned Sudakshina to ashes together with his priests. The Sudarshana disc, following the demon, entered Varanasi and burned the entire city to the ground. Then Krishna's Sudarshana Chakra returned to his side in Dwaraka. Chapter 67. This chapter describes how Lord Baladev enjoyed the company of the young girls of Braja on Raivataka Mountain and then killed the ape Dvivida. Naraka Asura, a demon whom Krishna killed previously, had a friend named Dvivida, who was an ape. Dvivida wanted to avenge the death of his friend, so Dvivida set fire to the homes of cowherders, devastated Lord Krishna's province of Anarta, and flooded coastal lands by churning the ocean's water with his mighty arms. The rascal then tore down the trees in the ashrams of great sages, and even passed stool and urine on their sacrificial fires. Dvivida kidnapped men and women, imprisoning them in mountain caves, which he sealed off with boulders. After thus disrupting the entire land and polluting many young women of respectable families, Dvivida came upon Raivataka Mountain. And there, Dvivida found Lord Baladev enjoying in the company of a bevy of attractive women. Ignoring Lord Baladev, who was apparently intoxicated by drinking Varuni liquor, Dvivida displayed his anus to the women right in front of Baladev and further insulted them by making crude gestures with his eyebrows and passing stool and urine. Dvivida's outrageous behavior angered Lord Baladev, who threw a stone at the ape. But Dvivida managed to dodge the stone. Dvivida then ridiculed Lord Baladev and tugged at the dresses of the women. Seeing this audacity, Lord Baladev decided to kill Dvivida. Thus, Balaram took up his club and plow weapon. Powerful Dvivida then armed himself by pulling up a shala tree from the ground, and with this tree, Dvivida struck Balaram on the head. Lord Baladev, however, remained unmoved and smashed the tree trunk to pieces. Dvivida uprooted another tree and yet another and another until the forest was denuded. But although Dvivida struck Baladev on the head with one tree after another, Balaram simply broke all the trees to pieces. Then the foolish ape started throwing a barrage of stones. Lord Baladev crushed them all to powder, after which Dvivida charged Balaram, hitting him on the chest with his fists, thus infuriating Balaram. Now, putting aside his club and plow weapons, Lord Balaram then struck Dvivida's throat and shoulder, at which point the ape vomited blood and fell down dead. Having killed Dvivida, Lord Baladev set off for Dwaraka as demigods and sages showered flowers from the sky and offered Balaram praises, prayers, and obeisances. Chapter 68. This chapter describes how the Kauravas captured Samba and how Lord Baladev dragged the city of Hastinapur to secure the release of Samba. The darling son of Jambavati, Samba, kidnapped Duryodhan's daughter, Lakshmana, from her Swayamvara assembly. In response, the Kauravas joined forces to arrest Samba. After Samba held them off single-handedly for some time, six warriors of the Kaurava party deprived Samba of his chariot, broke his bow to pieces, seized him, tied him up, and brought both Samba and Lakshmana back to Hastinapur. When King Ugrasena heard of Samba's capture, he called upon the Yadavas to retaliate. Angered, they prepared to fight, but Lord Balaram pacified them, hoping to avoid a quarrel between the Kuru and Yadu dynasties. Balaram then set off for Hastinapur together with several Brahmanas and Yadava elders. The party of Yadavas set up camp in a garden outside the city, and Lord Balaram sent Uddhava to ascertain King Dhritarashtra's frame of mind. When Uddhava appeared in the Kaurava court and announced that Lord Balaram had arrived, the Kauravas worshipped Uddhava and then went to see Balaram, taking auspicious items to offer him. The Kauravas honored Balaram with rituals and items of respect. But when Balaram conveyed Ugrasena's demand that they release Samba, the Kauravas became angry. It is very amazing that the Yadavas are trying to give orders to the Kauravas. This is like a shoe trying to climb the top of one's head. It is from us alone that the Yadavas have obtained their royal thrones, and yet now they presume themselves equals? No longer will we extend to them royal privileges. Having said this, the Kaurava nobles went inside their city, and Lord Balaram decided that the only way to deal with those who are maddened by false prestige is through brute punishment. Thus, Balaram took up his plow weapon and, intending to rid the earth of all the Kurus, began dragging Hastinapur toward the Ganges River. Seeing that their city was in imminent danger of falling into the Ganges, the terrified Kauravas quickly brought Sambha and Lakshmana before Lord Balaram and began to glorify him. O Lord, please forgive us, we who are so ignorant of your true identity. Baladev then assured the Kauravas he would not harm them, and Duryodhana presented various wedding gifts to his daughter and new son-in-law. Then Duryodhana extended his greetings to the Yadavas, requesting Lord Baladev to return to Dwaraka with Sambha and Lakshmana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.